to the Divorce Devil podcast, a show tailor-made for those stepping out of the divorce recovery space. Follow your hosts, David and Rachel, as they dive into the all-too-familiar shitstorm of the more-than-interesting end-of-the-road divorce topics, stories, and discussions. While realizing it can be a trying stage, they have been where you are and understand the struggle. And yes, the struggle is real. They know that recovery can be such a clusterfuck. Check out the podcast if you feel like you're juggling chainsaws, then strap in and hold on for some honesty, authenticity, and hard-in-your-face irrefutable truths. This innovative podcast is not for the faint-hearted, so if you can't handle the certain truths, just keep it moving. If you can, welcome to the show.
Welcome everyone out there to Divorce Devil episode 170. We've got Muttley on the mic.
It wouldn't be a podcast, our podcast, unless we fucked up.
Yeah. Not me, you.
Well, that's pretty much you.
Episode 170. Today we're talking about owning your story. Discuss not being ashamed of your divorce status. Tips for telling your divorce story. Journal prompt. How will you tell your story? Are you divorced, single, or not married? What are you?
I am in a relationship.
Okay. There you go. So kind of like Facebook in a relationship.
Technically not on Facebook, but I am in a relationship. Not a situationship.
No. So what do you have for this podcast, Rachel? Tell us what you think. You've been thinking about this all week.
I think this has changed for me. When I was first divorced, I didn't want to tell anybody. Because I felt like a failure. And I felt like, how can I not make this 24-year marriage last or just get past this or get over this or just speak my mind and stay in it? Or, I think as you progress through your divorce story, it becomes less of a story. It becomes more of a chapter, right? It becomes and depending on who you're talking to, I always say this too, like you can meet new people and decide in an instant how much of your life story you're going to get. Like I'll sit somewhere and don't know anybody and people just random tell me their life story. And I'm like, why did they decide to tell me, right?
Or why me?
What was the motivation of, you know, I feel safe with this person or I feel comfortable with this person? As soon as I tell people I have a divorce podcast, the people that I don't even know that have been divorced, like, I'm like, what? Wait, what? You got what? So I think opening that dialogue and opening that communication really can help other people. But I think now, like, you know, other than, you know, weekly doing a divorce podcast, I feel like the divorce part of my life is less of my story. I feel like it's, you know, it happened. I got through it. I'm healing through it. Cause there are times where I'm like, I'm healed. And then like, no, you're not. You didn't deal with that part or you didn't deal with that. So I think your divorce story becomes less motivating in your life, you know, unless someone else is going through it and you're like, hey, you know what? I've been divorced. I have a podcast. I can't solve your specific problem, but I might be able to help you get through it. And I think that's how a lot of people have come to know and love our podcast, because they're like, you know what? If you can laugh through some of the shittiest parts of it, it's helpful. What's your divorce part story, David?
You know, I was born a poor black child.
Oh, my God. Gonna do that. I was gonna be like, so one day, once upon a time, there was a little white girl in Tampa, Florida, born to hippie parents.
We've been doing it so long that our story becomes like grayish.
Yeah,
you know, but first when you first divorce, your story's black, red, like really, really bright. But now your divorce story is like, hey. And the only reason why my divorce story is still prevalent in my mind is because of the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, we're helping people, so.
I feel like the divorce story in the beginning is literally like a chess match. You're trying to defeat the queen or, you know, kill the king and do the things. Like, you're trying to literally think about your next move.
Mm-hmm.
You are trying to protect children or other people involved, right? But yet your ultimate goal is to get through it, win it, however you need to do that to heal. And I think, too, those steps in that game are healing. So okay, my horse moves this many steps in that thing. If I go this way, wait, I can also go back. I can also fall back into that because I didn't realize I didn't heal in it. And so that game of chess really, it really was powerful for me because I was like, you know, I may not know the game and all the strategy and be like a genius or savant in it, but as I'm learning the game, I'm learning to get through it, to get to the end of this game and get to the end of your story. And so there's a, you know, part of my being prepared for this podcast was I remember when my dad passed and someone read the poem, The Dash. So what do you do between your birth date and your death date? All those experiences in between there are significant at the moment, but really it's how much of a role did it play in your life? So if your divorce lasts 2 or 3 years, that's a big chunk of, you know, maybe your 30s or your 40s or however old you were when you got divorced. But in the scheme of things, you were born, you were a child, you graduated high school, you graduated college if you go to college, you've had children. Yes, you were married, and then you decided that that wasn't fruitful for me, so I got out of it. And then now look what you are. Look where you have come, and hopefully look how much further you have to go. And so the Dash poem to me is always that make the most of this life. It's very short in hindsight, but it can be very fruitful and, you know, wonderful. It can be wonderful even after divorce. And a lot of people are like, oh, I'm divorced now. It's going to, everything else is going to suck. And there's my flag. There's my red flag. Oh, she's been divorced. There's my this. Here's her baggage. Oh, wow. Look at all that baggage she has. Oh, you
know. It's almost like you look at a divorce as a rebirth.
Yeah.
Instead of a death.
And another chance to be happy. And we always say, too, oops, that big black thing was in my way. The microphone, people, the microphone.
Help us, Lord.
Help me, Jesus. So that rebirth is another chance to make you happy because it's definitely worth it.
Thanks for listening.
No, so like your story is a little different than mine, too, because you've been divorced a lot longer. You know, how long
was it? 14 now?
14 years, yeah.
14, almost 15.
And mine will be four. Mine will be 4 years, you know, in July. And just the difference of a year ago, you know, oh, I'm doing great, you know, and then all of a sudden something hits you, like, or you find out that the family that no longer is yours, someone's sick or someone's getting married or having a baby. And you're like, if I were still married, I'd still be involved with that. Yep. There are some people that are, you know, his side that I still talk to and love and cherish and, you know, still expect to, you know, invite to important things in our lives. And, you know, there's family members that haven't even spoke to me since we told everybody. So
4 years later,
you're like, okay, well, obviously when we were married, those people really weren't on my side. It was, you know, family versus family, not, you know, Rachel versus the world, whatever. But, you know, those things will bring them up. And then as you've gone through it more, you're like less hurt, less affected, less given a fuck. Right?
Yep.
Because we all say, you know, well, I mostly say that giving no fucks is really saying like,
I forgive you.
And no matter what you do to me now, it really doesn't affect me in the way it would have if I gave a fuck. And I think too, giving a fuck helps you say, you know what, I'm going to tolerate this, but not that. But then when you're like, no, you know what, I don't really give a fuck about what you do because it no longer affects me. And part of your story is saying, this is where I set a boundary. This is where I set a boundary. Some people can't get through those boundaries because I set them so high.
Yep, definitely. Which is something that you need to do.
Yeah. And I think since the divorce, I can spot people who need boundaries quicker. Where in my past life, I was like, oh, well, let's
see what happens.
Let's keep the peace. Yeah. Let's, like, not, you know, rock the boat. Let's, you know,
see what happens.
Treat them with kid gloves. Well, my kid gloves are off. I'm an adult. And if you can't respect me or talk to me respectfully, you're automatically get a boundary. Like,
kiss my grits, bitch lips.
I think I've done this with especially someone at work that doesn't understand boundaries. But yet, the moment you ask her to do something or ask something of her, it's like, oh, I can't do that. No, it's not that. But has these grandiose ideas. And then you're like, well, now someone else has to do your work. or someone else is, you know, now responsible of getting your work done because you waited till the last minute. And that to me, I feel like there's a lot of people in our lives that do that. They're like, well, I'm going to do this, this, and that. And when they don't do it, it falls onto you and you can decide whether or not to do it. And if you decide not to do it, people are going to see that they didn't do it. But as a collective, if it's not done, then everybody's affected, right?
It's almost like they don't respect you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Done. Absolutely.
Little fuckers.
And I think the boundary thing is, too, is like the role of this person is, you know, kind of like my role, but in more of a social setting and more of the hands-on with the student, like more of the time where I usually just get tidbits of the check of them, you know, I got a boo-boo, I got this, I hit my head, whatever. Mm-hmm. And she's more or less like following them through their journey. And I'm just like, if I can see this and that you need to do this and it's not my job, then obviously you're not doing your job. And so that goes to people in your life. You know, if you're not supporting me as a spouse or you're letting other people disrespect me as a spouse, where's my boundary? I want to maintain my family. But at some point, you know, because we're speaking of divorce, when you're going through that, you know, okay, now what are the roles? If you weren't doing your job before and I'm sending my kid to you, right? Mm-hmm. How do I know you're doing your job or to my expectation? And you have to let that go.
So do the roles. So what's more important? Interesting question.
Yeah.
Which one's the more important, the roles or the boundaries? Or they're kind of like, coexisting.
Well, I think they meld into each. I feel like the boundary's not straight. It's not a wall. Mm-hmm. It's kind of wavy. And sometimes as a team at work, you know, I could be your assistant and not feel great. Someone else might have to step in because we can't give the patient the best, you know, care. But we can't always keep delving back into my responsibility of something, right? So in a marriage, if you're constantly bending, that's not really a sturdy wall, right? That's not really that boundary that's going to get you healed or equal partners. And, you know, I say, in many podcasts that I believe relationships are 100-100. If I'm not given 100, or I can't, like, say I'm sick, I can't give you 100% today because I'm in bed.
Part of it.
You might have to take up my slack. But if we're both giving 100, that's a lot more to give than if it's 50-50. Because that's more ways to fail.
I think the 50-50 lends itself to mistakes and uncharted territories where negativity starts to grow. Within that 50%.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I don't want my life to be 50%. I want my life to be 100% of effort. And some days I give 90 because I'm exhausted. I have nothing else to give, but my 90 is amazing because I'm giving the hundreds, you know, spectacular, right? But 90 is also great because I'm not putting that on my partner. But if I can't do something and I can only do 50, I know there's another 100% over here.
But, you know, maybe you're giving 100% of your 50.
Yeah. And that's not fair.
Yeah.
Who's that fair for? And if you expect your partner to fill your other 50% all the time to make 100%.
Oh, that's a different story. Yeah.
Then you're both already starting out failure. So give 100%. And days you got to give 98 or even 88 or some days like when I was that sick a couple weeks ago, I gave 10. I got to myself to the bathroom and back to the bed. Like there was 10% and that's all I had. But thankfully I have a partner who's helpful and, you know, knows that I potentially will have 100% again and he might have to pick up the slack a little bit. And I'm not saying that my ex wasn't great at doing that when I needed him, but the bigger picture of the world that we were facing always felt more important.
So do you see yourself telling different versions of your story to different people, depending on how you perceive them?
Yeah.
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 Interesting. So there's probably so many different versions of your story.
Well, I think too, because you, like, you know, you marry into a family, right? Mm-hmm. And so they already have a version of you from that person. Now, you can either live up to the expectations of what that story was told, but as your life becomes intertwined with that other side, they can either see you for who you are or the version that they were given in the beginning. And I'm a huge stickler for this. Like, when I started my new job, there was people willing to tell me about all the people in the building, mm-hmm. like who to trust, not to trust. I'm like, let me figure it out myself. Yep. And within 3 days, I knew. I'm pretty sure they're still the person that I met when I first started working. And did I give people chances? Yes, because they could have been having a bad day the first time I had an interaction with them. But when I saw it,
continue.
You know, was verified by myself. And then, you know, if someone said, oh, yeah, she does. And I'm like, I don't want you to tell me. I want to figure it out, because then I've put effort into figuring out the people.
Maybe two people don't mesh. You know?
Well, and how many times in a divorce does one person go back to the family and be like, oh, he did this and she did that? But it's not really the version. The saying, there's her side, his side, and the truth.
Yeah.
As humans, we generally go towards a negative. And to be like, you know what? We're getting divorced. It's our story. It's our playbook, whatever, you know, you want to relate it to. It just didn't work out. But I could also be the person who goes bashing everything that happens.
Heck yeah.
And there's days.
Bash that bitch.
And especially on the podcast, I think we do a really good job at, you know, my friend or
my friend.
This person. And sometimes it is a friend. Sometimes
it is my friend.
And sometimes
it's always my friend. Always my friend.
Well, in my instance, sometimes when I say, well, my friend, it might be me.
Oh, no. It's never me. It's always my friend.
Okay, well, I'm owning my shit and my story. And
I ain't owning shit right now because it's always my friend. My friend is dumbass.
Well, the funniest part is when we find out those other people are listening. I was like, thanks for the subscription and thanks for the listen, but shit. My friend's in trouble.
My friend is almost exactly like me, man. He's almost like a doppelganger.
He's Gemini.
Gemini. It's like, damn, he's a twin. But I'm a Virgo, but I'm a twin.
I am a Gemini, and I'm a twin. My twin is always like, you know, the guardian angel that's always shaking her head? That's my twin.
Yeah, my friend is some dumbass shit when he was getting divorced. He went back to the well. He did all stupid shit.
Drinking that sugar.
Yeah.
Kool-Aid.
He went back to the
Kool-Aid.
He went back to the well for one last time, thinking it was going to be different, but it was the same old thing. My friend.
Oh, that's how I started.
Just on putting snot on the microphone.
Don't worry.
Yeah, yeah. My friend learned over time. Is that, you know, and then he did what? He healed. He healed.
Yeah.
Be healed.
So,
Jesus, take the wheel.
Heck, so, like, in part, like, with figuring this podcast out, too, I was like, what do I want my eulogy to say? I don't want anybody to mention my divorce. I want people to say, you know what? Her ex-husband, whatever. They had 3 kids together. That's fine. But the divorce isn't going to be part of my story. Like, it's not going to be written on my tombstone, right?
On mine, I want pepperoni and sausage.
Oh, on your tombstone. God damn it. I was like, that took me a second. I was like,
God, hello, come on.
What the hell?
My friend's wondering, why are you so slow today?
I know, right? Your friend's about to get punched in her throat.
Come on, let's go.
But yeah, so I think, you know, your divorce story, when you're in it, is all the shit.
Oh.
All the toppings.
Yeah.
All right? And I think as you get through it, and you become happy and you, you know, maybe meet a new person and, you know, start, you know, because we start to, I'm, you know, thinking about retirement in my brain. Not that I'll be able to do it. But, you know, when I retire, I don't want that to be part of my story. I don't want that to be, you know, yes, I'm divorced. Or do I have to check that off on the little box, like, you know, single, married, partner, whatever.
They should change that box to healed.
Healed.
Healed. We are healed people.
Yeah.
That try to heal others.
We are healed people that had a divorce and now we're, you know.
Trying to help other people
help other
heal.
Because there are books out there. Don't get me wrong. There are actually really awesome books. We've had some people on our podcast that have written awesome books. But when you're going through it, you're like, What am I looking for? I just need a book to say, how do I vent without murdering somebody or run them over with a car? You know, those are conscious decisions that you have to make while you're going through this terrible time. And, you know, now it's like really the only time I think about the divorce itself is like the anniversary of the day that happened. Or, you know, where I was when Facebook 4 years ago or 5 years ago, or remember that cruise you went on, or remember this you went on. So generally the topics come up because we really do want to help people. But I think in helping others, we really get to touch on those topics that we may not have visited for a while. And so, again, there also is another poem that I love, and it's called Let Them. It basically talks about if someone wants to choose something or someone over you, let them. If you want to go weeks without talking to them, let them. Like, let people read your story or hear your story, however they're going to, because no matter what you do or say, there's going to be people that really aren't on in your court. And there's also people who are cheering for you every step of the way. And so let the people who are going to be negative to you because you got divorced or you didn't stick in your marriage, or you didn't try to make it work, or you didn't like just fold to the negative. And I actually had people upset at me that I was healing, getting through it because I wasn't sad enough all the time. Or how can you laugh? You're getting divorced. Or how can you do that? I'm like, how the hell are you judging me? Because your life ain't great. And I have never judged your life. I've always only been there to support you. And I think part of this story and healing journey is not everybody's going to love you like I love you, or be a friend like I'm a friend, or, you know, step into a role that you may not know you need, because I can see the hurt, especially as a nurse, but as a human who's been through a lot of grief and a lot of shitty situations and have gotten myself out of, and with the help of a village and family and, you know, and, you know, my ex was great too. When we were in it, we were in it. But my partner now, like, he understands me because I talk the shit out of everything to the point where he's like, are you done talking yet? And I was like, I feel better. Thank you.
So there's no, there's no wondering what you're thinking.
And so I never have to think that he thinks I'm upset or he's going to get mad because I didn't talk to him today, because I'm really just trying to figure out all the shit in my head. Or, you know, I didn't sleep last night because I was worried about something that happened, you know, a month ago because a movie triggered it. Like, I'm just like, you know what? I had this dream that blah, blah, blah. And he's like, you feel better? I'm like, I feel better. And so there's never any animosity, or I'm never holding a grudge, or I'm never like silent treatment. Like, cause that wasn't the thing. Like, don't silent treat me, because then I'm thinking everything. Yeah. You've, you know,
your brain just
had
goes.
95 affairs. You have a second family. You have a house and, you know, you got bank accounts in Switzerland. Like, my brain just went all the things where, you know, with my partner I have now, it's like, the second I have an intrusive thought in my head going, whoa, what? He's like, what?
you know, there's a conversation.
And then I'll just say it, and he's like, all right, squirrel, you good? I was like, yes, I'm good. Thanks.
So what are the journals? That comes later. Wow.
Show me your nuts. I had to get some funny in here because it's,
So what's the journal prompt? You know, it says here journal prompt is how will you tell your story? And what version will you tell?
I think you need to write three or four versions. You need to write a mad version, a sad version, a happy version, and a not give a fucks version. And that just came out the top of my head because I feel like day to day, minute to minute.
How you feel.
Yeah. And so like if you, you know, here's my story when I'm pissed off, because that also heals your pissed offness, right? Yep. Here's my version. I'm sad that my marriage ended. And when I got married, there was no way I was getting divorced because my parents were divorced. No way. No fucking way can I not make it work. It's really easy to be married. Was I wrong? So do a sad version of all the things that you may, you know, may think that were good for you. I think you need to write the version of, I don't give a fuck what you think of my story. Here's my story.
Damn.
You know, and take your part in it, because marriages don't just fail. They gradually fall apart, right?
What I think, though, is that your story is a high rise. Mm-hmm. So instead of being a parking lot or parking structure.
I love when you do your analogies. I'm ready.
Your story is a high rise.
Yeah.
So then you get in the elevator and you pick your story. So from the bottom, the story's horrible and you're pissed off. And as you get higher up, the story gets different and calmer.
Because the Hugos are in the basement parking lot.
And then the Lamborghinis are upstairs. Yeah. There's no cars in the high rise. There's people. Anyway.
Well, there's a parking garage underneath where you have to park your shitty Hugo. And then you're like, look at me. Now I'm driving the
freaking. And so you're going up to the 100th floor, and it's almost at a point where you don't have a story. And your story doesn't include divorce.
Oh, yeah.
It includes every other part of your life but your divorce.
Yeah. So. Are you going to start singing the Jefferson song now?
What? Move on up? Thank you. Moving on up.
That was last week, too,
Piece
right?
Piece of the pie.
In a...
Something on
beans in the kitchen. Apartment in the sky. I think we totally
beans don't
that
burn
up,
on the grill.
Beans don't burn in the kitchen.
Yeah, gotta get up that hill.
Yeah, we're old. I can't remember. Lance says I can't remember any lyrics. I think I just like to make up my new ones every time I hear a song, so it makes it different. Right? That's my argument.
Up the high rise, my divorce story.
Yeah, I know all the actual lyrics. Yeah. I just like to change them to give it a little spin.
Yeah.
Or whatever I'm feeling at the moment. If Squirrel sounds better than, you know, Stairway to Heaven, then we're going to use it.
So Squirrel, give us your parting words. What's the deal? You want to tell people to get in their heads, hey, look, this is... Work on your story.
I actually think you need to write your story. Like, I think
write
you need to
down.
Put it down somewhere. Because when you're old and you're passing on your legacy or whatever you're doing, you'll be able to tell the versions of your... You can tell them because we're all going to forget shit, right? But you'll have some documentation that reminds you of that time where you healed. You worked hard to get through it. You may have fallen back a couple times. You know, two steps forward, one step back, whatever. But eventually you got to a place where that wasn't a big deal anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't, you know, the defining moment in your life. You know, like, I saved a life once in the hospital. Okay, cool. But I've saved many lives is part of your story. And I don't just mean CPR. I mean, you talking to people through... Mm-hmm. When you're in the hospital, you're at your worst. People are seeing you, you know... And especially if you're a woman out there, you know, my hair is not done. I'm wearing my pajamas from 3 days ago because I haven't been able to get out of bed and the whole thing.
So sexy.
So you are feeling your worst. And just being in the hospital, just being divorced, just being in the hospital can be your biggest fear. Now you're sick on top of it. You might get some bad news. You might have to have surgery. You may not have any family close that can help you out. You're depending on people you don't know. That's all the same. Everything is relative in our lives. There are things in life that are similar to a divorce. And if you've experienced any of those things, you can kind of relate. It may not be the same thing, but, you know, in life, most things are the same. It's how you deal with them or how you interact or how you react. And if I react every time I have to go to the hospital like a fucking asshole, they're gonna be like, you know what? We don't want you to come back. If I act like an asshole every time we're in divorce court or I have to text my ex, or we know the response, you know, insanity, repeating the same thing over and over.
It's a given.
Expecting a different change. If you have been through any situation where you had to meet adversity or, you know, it was the hardest thing at that moment, you can get through your divorce. You can get through it. You had kids, you've had a terrible mother-in-law. Your mom and dad were alcoholics and you basically raised your sister. These are all things that helped me get to where I am today, going, if I can get through that at 8, like I can get through anything at 49. Like, so use your experiences, know that this too shall pass, get yourself right, write your story, even in just one emotion today. Start writing your outline. Get your thoughts together. And as you see the things that you've gone through, you'd be like, look at me. I'm doing great. I'm healing. Now I can write my story. I now have all the pieces to it. And, you know, if you're just thinking about divorce or you're in the middle of it or you've been out of it for a while, you can read it over and be like, you know what? That doesn't bother me anymore. Check that off. You know, this doesn't bother me anymore. And as you're journaling, you can see how far you come. Like, my story is this. And, you know, I may have mistakenly wrote something in there that was an emotion and not fact. Because my version is the only version, right? Yep. Like, my whatever I say is, you know, in my head is right. But I may have seen it differently than what really happened.
I think we ought to write like a sentence in your story each day.
Yeah.
And see how discombobulated it is from the beginning of the story to the end, and see how your emotions.
Oh, when progress. You're in those anger eyes, when you're in those like mad texting, why are you such an asshole? And why did I pick you? And what the hell? What was I thinking? Yep. And what part? I think too, you need to go back and say, what were those things that made me love him or her? What was those things that said, yes, I want to marry you? And then you see all those things that you kind of let go because you were in love and you want, and everybody was supposed to get married and have the picket fence and do the things and, you know, create this life. Well, I saw back then, you know, his mom was number one and his family was number two and this was, his work was number three and I was just coming
in.
I wouldn't have changed it because I have the most amazing children and I had a great life and I seen the great things and I think I would have spoken up more.
Sooner.
But that also would have caused more chaos. And so the way things have worked out are great for me now.
It worked out perfect.
And exactly. And someday I hope you find your, you know, it worked out perfect.
Your story is perfect.
Yeah. And it's your story. And no one else gets to tell your story because whatever your perception of your story is, it's yours.
And no two stories are the same.
Yep. And that's why we do the podcast, because your divorce is different to my divorce, but there's parts of it that are similar. You know, the healing and
I divorced a woman, you divorced a man. So that's how they're different.
Sorry, Lance.
Yeah. Oh, damn. Snap. Anyway, well, thanks for listening, everybody. Oops.
But yeah, so own your story, love your story, love yourself enough to heal and to get through it.
No matter what your story is, love your story, love yourself.
And always put a little laughter and humility and humor into your story, because that story, that one line could be something in your family that's a joke now, and you know that was so.
And go home and sing the Jefferson's theme song.
Be the best author you can be for your autobiography. Right?
Beans don't burn on the grill. All right.
Did you look up the lyrics?
Nope, I did not. But I'm going to sing the whole damn song.
You need
song
to put that on the bottom.
Week.
You need to put that in the Spotify link to the Jefferson song. I mean, who didn't love that? I mean, Wheezy.
Oh, yeah.
You find it?
Sang it?
I don't know. Isn't it the people in the show that sing it?
I don't know. All right, everybody.
He used to sing it, too, while I was on. He's like, I feel like he sang
it.
There
you go.
I don't know. All right, well, be a part of your own life.
It's okay. It's fish don't fry in the kitchen, beans don't burn on the grill. Took a whole lot of trying just get up that hill. Now we're up in the big leagues, getting our turn at bat. As long as we live, it's you and me, baby. There ain't nothing wrong with that, because we're moving on up. All right, there we go. We'll leave that with you guys. Yeah. You know, a little bit of singing from us, but take care. We love you.
When we sing. And I have the hiccups, so it sounds great.
All right, everybody. Take care. Love you.
Love you. Bye-bye. Bye.